A very big team, or a small and medium-sized standard. I'm delighted to decide that we have five papers to go today. The first one will be headed by Mustafa. Now, two words about Mustafa. Not only is this his first appearance at the board table, but as it happens, it's his birthday today. Be extra nice. Right? With that introduction, over to you.
Thanks, Andre, for this nice introduction. Starting with the alignment with IFRS 16, agenda paper 30A, asked the board to decide whether, and if so, how to propose amending the IFRS for SME standard to align with IFRS 16, making some simplifications. Agenda paper 30B, provide the boards with a summary of the feedback on the request for information and the recommendation of the SMEC. The request for information sought views on aligning the IFRS for SMEs standard with IFRS 16, including possible simplifications to some of the recognition and measurement requirements, disclosure requirements, and the language of the IFRS 16. Overall feedback about the aligning of IFRS for SMEs standard with IFRS 16 was mixed. Although there was some discussion on whether the simplifications discussed in the request for information would lead to faithful representation, questions were not raised on the relevance of the topic to SMEs. Albeit, there was some concern about the cost of the aligning the IFRS for SMEs standard with IFRS 16. Applying the principle of relevance, as mentioned, the staff note that the feedback from many respondents to the request for information generally did not raise questions regarding the topic's relevance to SME, and indicate that IFRS 16 introduced improvements to financial reporting, provide useful information to users, and results in greater transparency of SMEs' liabilities and assets, so that IFRS 16 satisfies the relevance condition for SMEs. Applying the principles of simplicity and faithful representation, paragraph 28 to 87 of agenda paper 30A discussed possible simplifications, including the staff assessment of whether these simplifications would lead to faithful representation. In considering the cost and benefits, the staff note that the benefits to preparers and users of SME financial statements would outweigh the cost for preparers of applying an aligned Section 20 to IFRS 16, incorporating reliefs already in IFRS 16 and some additional simplifications. The feedback also indicates that most SMEs do not have sophisticated lease arrangements, for example, energy or power purchase agreements, that the single model is simpler than the existing requirements in Section 20. And therefore, it is not expected in itself to bring significant implications, challenges to most of the SMEs. Having said that, the questions for the board in agenda paper 30A are structured as follows. An overall question about the relevance to SMEs of the improvements to financial reporting that were introduced by IFRS 16. A question for each of the possible simplifications to the requirements of IFRS 16 discussed in this paper. And an overall final question about the development of proposed amendments to Section 20 to align with IFRS 16 with simplifications recommended in paragraph 5 of agenda paper 30A. With that, I hand over to the board for discussion on question 1, which sets out in paragraph 27 of agenda paper 30A, and if the board agrees, the staff will ask the board to consider the simplification discussed in agenda paper 30A and vote in questions 2 to 7. Thank you.
Thank you, Mustafa. Bruce, kick us off.
Thank you very much. Thanks very much for the paper. And I will say, guys, I really like the way it's been structured, because I do think that we need to get through question one before we start looking at the detail and the other things. I feel bad being first since your birthday, because I don't necessarily know if I agree with what's been proposed. I tell you my challenge. My challenge is when I look at what we're doing on SMEs, to me what was quite important was the realization that the alignment principle was a starting point, not an end point, and that we don't have to align everything. We've said, yes, we'll look at alignment, but it's not, from my understanding, the end goal of what we're doing. If it was our end goal, well, then we wouldn't have a question one wouldn't be relevant. We'd have to do it. My challenge with IFRS 16 is that I think I think IFRS 16 is a brilliant standard for public entities. I think it's a good standard. I think it brings liabilities on balance sheet. I think there's a lot of things it does. My question comes into whether I think the value is there for non-publicly accountable entities. And the reason I kind of go across that is, to start off with, I'm not convinced that the complexity can be ignored. For those of us involved in IFRS 16 implementations, this was a tough standard for some people. And not the overall principle. People understood, yes, you put a debit and a credit on the balance sheet, but getting into the nuances of how you recognize the liability, the changes, all those things. And I do appreciate we've addressed some of those in the second part, but I'm going to ignore those for now. But there's still quite a bit of complexity around it. Even for simple leases, it created a lot of work for preparers in terms of what they were doing. And I think my understanding, we did that with IFRS 16 because there was a lot of value to the users in that. I'm not convinced that, in my mind, that use carries over into the SMEs. If I look at it from both sides, if I start off looking at it from a preparer point of view, I think it does create a lot of complexity, and I do think this is going to cost people a lot of money. The problem as well is if you look at most preparers in this market and you ask them about a lease, to them, this is the epitome of an operating expense. Barring taking ownership of the asset, they see these as operating expenses, which is why the old standard worked for them. And I think it reflected the way management managed the business and the way they felt that they were reporting. I think if you look at the users, I think that from a user point of view, my understanding of what the user are looking for is obviously understanding how those costs impact on the company and are they continuing on and how long they're going to go for. Well, that's being settled in terms of the disclosures. We're giving people those disclosures of how the costs are going on. So I haven't seen anything that's convinced me to say, hang on, if I'm lending money in that type of industry, I actually want a huge amount of information on the liability side, because I think we've seen this in other papers as well, that it's not always, the use is not always there in terms of whether people look at how much they use the financials in terms of their credit decisions. And this came out of the academic forum, some of the feedback from the academic forum we had a while ago, where clearly in this type of market, the financial statements were not the deciding factor at all in terms of credit decisions. A lot more was around the company, the people, what security they had, those type of things. So I think we've got to be very careful in terms of using the credit as the underlying basis for doing that. I just think that, yes, we can look at some simplifications, but I'm still not convinced that the simplifications are going to make this simple. And I think we've got to be careful in terms of where that goes. Now, getting back to the questions, what you're asking, so do I think it could improve the financial reporting? I do think it could improve the financial reporting on a theoretical point of view. So I do think IFRS 16 is a better standard for leasing in some circumstances. I just think that when we start looking at this environment, our way we're going to overcomplicate the standard where the intention was simplicity was one of our foundations in terms of what we're trying to do. So I'm not convinced we could do, we should be potentially going down the route of IFRS 16. Does it mean we should never go there? No, I think that this was something that we could potentially push on to say, look, given the complexity of the standard, we're not convinced by the usage, maybe this is one of those things we hold off. I do appreciate that means that this would only ever become effective a long way after IFRS 16 has become effective. I'm less worried about that at the moment because a lot of people have tried to argue and saying, oh, we've got to go line because of the subsidiaries of SMEs. I think we've got a separate project dealing with subsidiaries of SMEs and giving relief to them at the moment. So I'm very cautious in terms of saying, yes, but those using the SME standard need this relief. We're addressing the SMEs already. And if we take those out, I think if we look at these standalone, I just wonder if the alignment here goes a step too far in my mind in terms of the complexity. Thanks.
Thanks, Bruce. Tom?
I actually have, I think, the opposite view, at least on the concept. When I think back to the long journey from when all leases were essentially treated as operating leases way back in the 60s or 70s, and for public companies, it was a gradual process across national standard setters and ultimately for IFRS that more and more got capitalized over time. And it was a long journey, and even what was sort of in the SME standard was, as they made the journey, there were a whole series of political compromises, and we never got to the ultimate solution. And now I think in 16 we're pretty much there, where we have a genuine concept of what a lease is. And I think if you don't do that at the very basic concept level, you're kind of condemning people to have to go and learn a very solid concept in 16, plus this political compromise concept that was part of this journey. and then you kind of institutionalize it forever. And I think so for that reason, I really think we should bring in the 16. I'm sympathetic, though, to what Bruce said, and I really believe that it's important to keep the concept and then take a genuine hard look at simplifications that are reasonable for this class of entities. For example, when we get there, I'm going to at least argue for an additional simplification, because I really do think we want to keep it as simple as possible and keep the costs down. But I think the basic concept that people, and we impose costs on educators, everybody has to learn these two things going forward as long as we keep it, is we should have a fundamental concept that people learn, and then we can learn, okay, you do these simplifications because of these cost-benefit trade-offs. I think it's a better way to educate accountants, and I think it's going to be more coherent. So I'm sympathetic, and we should be really sensitive to making good simplifications, but I think the basic concept needs to be imported in how we treat leases and have that basic concept the same across both sets of standards.
Mary?
I'll join the North American Alliance this morning and declare myself to be more aligned with Tom's view. As I thought about this, and given the information about the significance of leases to SME entities, I thought that that this was very important for us to align with, and if we were worried about overload in terms of how much was going into this review in the CD, that maybe even we should prioritize the leasing alignment over potentially even some other things, given the frequency with which, you know, you report SMEs use leases as a source of financing. And I think it's really hard on users of financial statements who might look at some of the smaller listed entities and then also at SMEs to remember that when you pick up, you know, you have to understand this nuance to know that you're in another world in terms of how, you know, the amount of liability recognized, what the disclosures mean, et cetera. I guess the thing I was thinking about as I thought about the first question was, do we need more information about where the implementation challenges were for entities that applied IFRS 16 to figure out the simplifications? And my reaction to that, you know, so that we need more time, and that would argue for deferral rather than, you know, doing it now. And I think my answer to that is no, especially when we think about our expectations for the types of leasing transactions that we expect SMEs to have. Some of the more, you know, some of the questions that have emerged about IFRS 16 are more about, you know, one-off sale leaseback terms, or, as you said, some of the kind of specialist transactions with, you know, full take-up of power supply, you know, the more complex arrangements. And I think a lot of, you know, there was a very significant effort to, you know, and that involved a lot of work and a lot of cost in implementing IFRS 16. But let's not forget that a chunk of that was what came out was that when leases were off balance sheet and it was a disclosure only, that there wasn't maybe adequate investment in understanding all the lease agreements that, you know, entities were committing to. And so there was a lot of catch up in terms of, you know, developing the inventory of lease agreements, making sure that the terms were understood and that, you know, this is something that was maybe managed more closely by management once, you know, you said you have recognition and measurement requirements, not just disclosure requirements. And in terms of the issues, you know, the alternatives put forward here, I'd say I would go for alignment for the reasons Tom expressed and also for the ones I just covered. I think we do have to challenge ourselves about whether where we give simplifications. I don't, you know, looking ahead to the detailed questions, I don't object to any of the places where you propose starting from an alignment perspective, but we're going pretty far down the alignment route, and you know, maybe we have to challenge ourselves as we go through about, given the level of detail at which we write the SME standard, whether there are kind of second order points on which we should think about a bit more simplification to address some of the concerns, you know, that Bruce was talking about. I would not go, you know, if the board doesn't support alignment with some package of simplifications, I would not support going approach three for this update, because I think I would not put people through a change that was focused on improving disclosure. I would just say, okay, then it would be a let's defer to the next update and not put them through two, you know, the potential for two rounds of change. But I actually do support proposing amendments that are based on a principle of alignment with simplifications.
Thank you, Mary. Nick?
Thank you. So I'm more aligned with Bruce on this question. I think generally in this space, the nature of the leases are, as I think as you say in your paper, are not so sophisticated. And the needs of users here are straightforward, generally. You know, this is a discrete set of users. It's lenders and other creditors. Their focus is exclusively on the cash flows and the ability to service the lease. I don't want to preempt it, but I also have a sense that when we get to the post-implementation review of IFRS 16, we will hear some significant user issues and questions in terms of how well that's working for them. And that makes me feel it's more appropriate to wait for that. I don't want to preempt that, nor, you know, but I would be loath to put through one set of alignment and then some further changes as a result of the PRR. I don't know if that's where we end up, but it gives me a sense of caution. I'm not so concerned as Mary is about users facing two different types of financial statements, one which are aligned and one which aren't, because I think in terms of, again, the users in this space, what they seem to be, what my understanding is as a lender, you're simply focused on those cash flows, and if you've got that information there, that's fine. I think for me it's more appropriate just to pause, not align at the moment, not to rule it out, but wait till the next round and we have more information.
Yeah,
I will more go for an EMEA alliance there, and join my voice to Bruce and Nick. And by the way, first thing, happy birthday. I'm sorry, I will go more for approach three in to answer your question one, and the reason is the following. I think first for those SMEs, the information, the most important information is more about the cash outflows, the payments. Not sure that computing a liability in the balance sheet is that relevant for that type of entities. You're referring notably on paragraph 17 of the paper on the fact that it may be painful on transition to IFRS 16. It's not just on transition, it's also on an ongoing managing of a right of use asset and a lease liability. So it's painful forever. So I have, of course, no practical experience with an SME, but I have a practical experience of smaller subsidiaries within a group and implementation of IFRS 16 for those entities. So entities which revenue range from 10 to 60, 70 million euros a year. For them, most leases are not a financing. They are a service, the acquisition of a service. So in that sense, operating leases make sense. I appreciate that, of course, as a practitioner, and my comments are absolutely not conceptual and just practical. I appreciate that even from a practitioner standpoint, and even if it's difficult to implement IFRS 16, and above all to maintain, it's not just a transition, it's to maintain continuously IFRS 16. And I will echo what I said also on Tuesday. One of the biggest ERP provider has just released this year its IFRS 16 module. it shows something. It shows the level of complexity to implement this standard. So I appreciate that for large groups, the interest, the practical interest, is also to reduce the question to an arbitrage between the cost or the reduced cost of owning a property, whatever the property it is. It's of course more costly to lease it than to own it. And it's an arbitrage between a reduced cost if you own a property versus the flexibility it provides to lease it and not to be potentially stuck, or to risk to be potentially stuck with an owned asset. And of course, I would say for SMEs, I'm not sure the question is that similar. As I said earlier, I think the idea is, in most instances, they will have a lease contract, but it's like a service they are paying for. So the distinction, finance lease, operating lease, I think should answer their concern, and it should be too costly for them to require IFRS 16 and to force them to transition to IFRS 16, and above all to maintain IFRS 16. My practical experience is that smaller units, 3-4 years after the transition, are still not, at least group I come from, I need to say that because it's important to have this practical feedback. They are still not autonomous in their management of IFRS 16. And they have the support, of course, of corporate departments to deal with it. Whereas SMEs won't have any support from any corporate departments. Eventually, they will buy the service of a service provider, of a third-party provider, helping them to maintain those, but I'm not sure it's something that can be very handy for them. So I would go for a non-alignment on this one.
Thank you, Patron. Tinchao?
Thank you, Andreas. Yeah, it's, first of all, I also, you know, I fully understand the concerns made by Bruce, but I'm looking at the question one, which we ask is about the improvement to the financial reporting that were introduced by IFRS 16, whether relevant, that's the relevant to relevant, you know, to SMEs. My answer is I think they're relevant. You know, the answer is because as the paper analyzed, and a lot of message we can get is that a lot of SMEs do have a lease contract there. And the lease is always the major finance of those companies' operation. Particularly when we look back to the past 2 years during the COVID-19 period or during the lockdown, we can see that actually lease obligation is one of the major obligations for many SMEs. Without lease concessions, many SMEs will face financial difficulties. So I feel that that information real relevant and important information to the users from my perspective. So I think from relevant perspective, it's relevant to SMEs, particularly some specific, you know, area for pubs, you know, shops. I think that is major, you know, obligations. And that is why we decided to introduce, you know, IFRS 16 model to bring those obligations into the face of the financial statement rather in the notes. Secondly, I do have sympathy with some stakeholders raised that the cost, you know. But I think the cost really depends on the complexity of those lease contracts. I suppose that many SMEs do not have very complex contracts. I think Mary also mentioned, for example, sale and lease back contract, or then, for example, those lease contracts with, you know, variable lease payments, I think it should be very rare for SMEs. Some lease contracts are very straightforward, and the underlying assets those SME leased, namely maybe property lease or vehicle lease. So should they be comparing to those companies with public accountability? Maybe, I think, it is more simpler than, you know, those companies. So cost may be higher than those companies currently applying IFRS 16. But the benefit is, from my perspective, will provide more transparent information to users, and actually will push back for those companies to manage those obligations, those liabilities, when they go enter to a lease contract. So my point is, I think it's relevant to SMEs. The key is, how can we simplify IFRS 6 model? I think we will discuss the next few questions in terms of simplification. So I support the staff's recommendation. It's relevant. Thank you.
Mateo.
Thank you, Andreas. I'll give a spoiler of my vote. I'm aligned with Jin Chao, but then I'll come back to what I would say. It's in a part of the paper here, paragraph 17, saying that IFRS 16 is simpler because it does not have to segregate lease between operational or finance. In my view, this is not a fair statement, especially if we ask preparers that implemented IFRS 16 2019 whether this is a simpler standard compared with IS 17. The answer would be no. They have a lot of difficulties in implementing this one. And then I have advanced for the next question that was Jin Chao touched on. That's the relevance of IFRS 16 for the SMEs. And it is quite relevant. And whether IFRS 16 is better than IS 17, I have no question. It's much better. And we bring all these actual liabilities. We are discussing about real assets and real liabilities that should be in the balance sheet. That's why I have no question IFRS 16 is much better than IFRS IS 17. And then moving to the next question and looking at the IFRS for SMEs, can we bring these advances into IFRS for SME with simplification? I think yes. Based on what is discussed in the rest of the paper here, I definitely believe that we can do something. We have to look at the fact that today in IFRS for SME, you already have finance lease. You already have the disclosure, finance lease. You already have the disclosures on, thank you very much, Jin Chao, for your face, because it means that I was said. We have the finance lease. We have the disclosures. I mean, that it's nothing new. We are really bringing something that is already in a certain point in time within the IFRS for SME. I think that we just can make it better, and we can do some applying the principle of the simplification, help the preparers of IFRS for the financial statements under IFRS for SME to do this with a, and then again, with some short-term pain on transition. But I think that on the long term, it will be a very good standard to be aligned with for SMEs. Thank you.
Thank you. Sue?
I think I'm more aligned with the North American / Jin Chao. And sort of trying to look at this dispassionately and sort of logically. So, firstly, the relevance question. So we know for sure that SMEs are big users of leasing contracts. So prima facie, good candidates for looking at lease accounting. So the question then is there a difference in terms of the investor information needs between those using full IFRS and IFRS for SMEs? And my instinct is that it should be relevant for those investors. And why do I say that? I say that because I think a lot of the funding that comes for these types of entities is from banks, and my recollection when I was working on IFRS 16 and did some of the deep dives with the banks, given my relationships, was that their credit departments were very interested in the information that came from applying IFRS 16, because they are interested in the cash flows, but they were also part of this community trying to work out sort of leverage ratios to think about the debt covenants and things like that. So they were interested in the application of IFRS 16. So my sort of starting position is that I believe that the relevance justifies us trying to work, move towards IFRS 16 and to bring, as Tadeo very well said, you know, real assets and liabilities onto the balance sheet. It's not just about wanting to have more liabilities. We think they met the definition of assets and liabilities, and we spent years discussing that. So I don't think it's the time for us to think about whether we think that's still a good idea or not, or whether we want to have a new debate about what a lease is and, you know, whether they're operating cash flows or whether they're really assets and liabilities. We spent years debating that. And so I'd rather sort of look at what we've got now. But I think there is a very real question in terms of the cost that might come for this community. And so I think that the approach that we take and the simplifications that we take are really, really important. So I like the idea of alignment and bringing leases on the balance sheet. But I think it's really important that we get the simplifications. And personally, I would have been perhaps more open to approach two than I get the sense of from the paper. Reason being that I think the key thing is making sure that we have recognition of assets and liabilities for lease contracts. I think that's the prize, if you like, and I think it's good to have a single model for that. So that alignment with IFRS 16 is great. I think it's also very useful because it helps with the cost argument to look at the simplifications around excluding small ticket items and short-term leases and all of that. So I think it's really great to look at that aspect of it. But the thing I guess I'd be interested in thinking about a little bit more is, and the staff may have already done this, is whether we really need all of the bells and whistles around the measurement aspects of calculations of the lease liabilities and assets that is in IFRS 16, much of which was designed with more complicated leases in mind. Would it be possible to say there's no operating finance lease distinction anymore, but we're just going to use the finance lease mechanics that are in the IFRS for SMEs standard now? Now, that might be a stupid idea because most people, you know, manage not to have finance leases today, if I can express it that way. And so there may just not be enough there to use for a big population of leases. But, you know, rather than throwing the whole thing out, which might happen otherwise, you know, for me that would be another way of approaching it that I think is, you know, if we get stuck with the board in terms of moving towards an IFRS 16 alignment and getting comfortable with the simplifications, I wouldn't go to approach three, but I would be open to approach two if it helps us move towards alignment, thinking of it that way. So some of the simplifications from 16, maybe the lease definition from 16, but thinking about the measurement in a more simple way, if that is feasible from an operational perspective.
So I think I'm going to thread the middle and not align with any block. So in terms of the question at hand, are the improvements in the move to IFRS 16 relevant for SMEs? I think the answer for me is yes, they are. And when I look at it, it's moving to an IFRS 16 model for the SMEs will impose some costs on preparers. And we talk a lot about transition costs versus ongoing costs. We could also talk about the users, the ecosystem, so accountants having to learn one model instead of two. Regulators only needing to apply one model instead of two. What trips me up, though, is the question that doesn't get asked, so I'm going to append something to the question. So I would agree with the relevance. Try that again. But I do have concerns about transitioning now. And the reason for that is I think there are a couple elements of the IFRS 16 transition that caught a lot of us by surprise, which is that the systems weren't quite ready for the transition. And so what we thought the transition costs weren't going to be were not what they were. And we haven't done the PIR yet, but I think we can say that fairly opened it. And so my caution is in making the same mistakes with SMEs, because Bertrand has said, you know, some of the biggest providers are just now bringing their IFRS 16 modules online. I sincerely doubt the smaller providers have those online, even if they're less complex leases. And I think the SMEs are less able to do some of the hard work that really impose the costs, which is finding all the leases, which they probably should have done, to Mary's point already. But then extracting all the information in the new ways that are necessary for IFRS 16. So sort of like Sue, I wish there was a different approach too, which would have been, let's move towards alignment, but maybe give a later start date. I wish there was an option between now or the next time we look at IFRS for SMEs, because I am worried about those transition costs. And you know, I'm not sure where I'm going to go on the vote. I think I know where I'm leaning, but it's not necessarily on the question that's being asked. It's on the follow-up question. So is it relevant? Yes. But the inherent question in that is, and do we agree to transition now with simplifications that we'll discuss later? So it'll be more on the unasked part of the question than on the actual question.
Thanks, Zach. You in these three camps. Or do you want to be in the fourth camp?
Yeah, probably. I'm sorry, Rostov. I'm with that camp. European.
Make you honorary EMEA member.
Yeah, actually, if we pass the alignment objective, in that case, I think ideally, ask we don't implement significant volume or simplification. So the rest of the paper, I actually agree with what the staff suggested us to do. But because I think if we implement a significant volume of simplification, I assume that the ideally like and appreciate the hold the benefit of what IFRS 16 brought us. So I think if we decide to align with IFRS 16, I really think SME companies also appreciate the same benefits. So, but if simplification, significant simplification will be implemented, in the case, I assume that it will be the outcome of that simplification would be more aligned with the outcome of what SME had already today. And also that means they lose all the benefit of the implementation of the new standard more aligned with IFRS 16. So I really don't want to take that path. And then a lot of discussion about the complexity has been already discussed, but I think the most difficult things in practice is yes, there is a multiple size of SME company, but if I focus on smaller, medium-sized companies, maybe they have a lot of significant volume of short term and also recurring this arrangement, probably. In that case, it may be, it's the burden of use of the aligned model with IFRS 16. It's not upon the transition. Probably they will continue the Excel sheet exercise almost every year, again and again. I don't think they are going to spend a very significant amount of investment in IT development, like large multinational companies, listed companies. So at this moment, I really don't want SME to take that cost and burden before we really understand the challenge of the IFRS 16. because we are going to assess the challenges throughout the PIR of IFRS 16. So I just want to hold and wait and see what we can work and make it more simpler for SME in a right way to get the real benefit of alignment with IFRS 16.
I thank the staff for giving us these two really detailed papers, 30A and 30B, because it's really complicated. And all through the outreach, we heard a lot of mixed outreach on this. It wasn't clear. And it's not clear because of this diversity in size of IFRS for SMEs, as Rika's referring to. So I'm going with the Bruce camp on this. And the reasons for me going there is the real risk of introducing so much complexity into the IFRS for SMEs as we pursue our alignment approach. And I am a supporter of the alignment approach, and there's a lot of work we're doing. And this time round, we've got so much to consider with these big standards, and there is going to be a lot of change. And so I can understand people thinking it's alignment's the overarching approach, and we've got all these areas, let's do them all at once, and, you know, let's go that way. But here, I just think with IFRS 16, there's a real risk of introducing complexity into the IFRS for SME standard that will not be beneficial. There are so many people in the feedback loop who've said, don't do it or don't do it now, wait for the PIR of 16. And a lot of that conversation today we've heard is that there are so many uncertainties around 16, so why would we do it? Why would we push this down to the IFRS for SMEs? Now, other people have mentioned the simplifications, and we've got lots of detail on those. And they're actually a reason why I'm going for the no vote, because I don't see those simplifications are complex. I don't see them being straightforward. And I see leasing, the way it works in 16, there is complexity. To Tadio's point, you know, the leases are relevant, 16's a better standard, should be on balance sheet, they're real assets and liabilities. I agree with all of that, but I'm hesitating over the other things, and I don't see how the simplifications will put us in a place. I just think they're complicated, and later today we're going to talk about some simplifications in IAS 19 that were supposed to help, and years later we're hearing how there's diversity around them, it's not clear enough, people are now asking us to clean it up, give clarity, introduce examples. Well, leasing's incredibly complicated. We don't want to find the board in 5 years' time in the next time round going, oh, now we have to tidy up on 16. So I'm in the defer this issue to next time round vote. Thank you.
Thanks, Anne. Today, you want to come back?
Yes. It's just because actually I haven't commented on whether I would go for approach one or two, because I am in favor of the alignment. And why I am in approach one, because I think that as it is in the paper, approach two is a kind of subset of approach one. I think that we can do more. Then it is like applying approach two, but with even more simplifications. And I don't think that the simplifications that are being proposed in this paper will cause any, it will still keep IFRS for SME aligned with IFRS 16 in terms of the general principles, and will make life of the SMEs easier without actually losing usefulness of the information for users. And one point that I think that is important, it was mentioned here, is that there is this standard is one of the standards that is aligned with US GAAP for some aspects. And I think that one comment that was here, it's quite relevant. We have some, let's say, additional evidence that in terms of especially, and I think that from the jurisdiction I came from, discount rate is a complicated issue. And then the simplification, for example, that is provided or that actually is suggested in this paper, it's a very good one. That's, I think that what I'm trying to say is that I think that approach two looks easier, But I think that approach one is just because you can do more. That's why I go for approach one. Thank you.
Thanks, Tadeo.
Sure. Just wanted to make a couple of general observations before we vote, because I think I understand the points that people are making about being very careful of cost, and also the fact that this is quite a new standard and we've got a post-implementation review coming up. But I think if the board doesn't agree to do something now, moving towards IFRS 16 for the SME standard, I think we need to be really careful about how we message that, because I think it's a, for me, that's a pretty big change from an alignment. I find it hard to reconcile with alignment. If people are saying it's just a timing issue, I think it's going to be really important that that's the message that we get out to people, because otherwise I think it's quite difficult from an alignment perspective for me. Also, you know, you can deal with costs and things by allowing people more time, and we're not waiting for 15. I also worry about the subliminal messages we're sending to people about preempting what we think about 16 before the PIR. And the other thing I worry about a little bit is we spent years working on IFRS 16 and we're convinced, really convinced, that there were real assets and liabilities. And so if we make this decision not to align now, we are saying that's okay. You can have real assets and liabilities and we don't mind if you can't see them. So I really struggle with that from a relevance perspective, I guess.
Fair point. Bruce, you want to come back?
Yeah, two things that Sue said. I mean, the first thing I'm interested in is, it sounds like you and I see alignment as differently, because whereas I see it as a starting point for discussion, you're saying that alignment should be the end point to what we're going for. Because I think that's a different, it's a fundamental difference in our approach, because if we're saying alignment is where we're going to, well, then we don't need to discuss this. We have to do IFRS 16.
Can I respond to you directly?
Because yeah.
I feel that for me, the way that I am, and this has been a big debate, what does alignment mean? Because we've all got different little conceptual frameworks around it, I think. For me, I think we start thinking as that it's a good thing to have, you know, some level of parity between the IFRS for SMEs and the big book. That's sort of how I think of alignment. And the first thing we test is it relevant? Because that's the first big test. So is it going to influence investors' decisions? Then we have to be careful about whether or not, you know, we need more cost considerations, etc., because it's a different population. But I think my starting position is, it's a good thing to try to get alignment where we can between the two. And maybe that's a different perspective to yours.
No, I mean, I'm happy we can look at alignment. I guess the only difference...
There are two quite different bits of literature to look after.
Well, they are. But I guess that maybe the perception I've always had is that... I mean, I appreciate what we do in Full IFRS, but, I mean, to me, the SME standard is a separate standalone standard. And I just get a little bit worried that we're going to be... that my concern around alignment becomes we're trying to create IFRS light. And if that's what we want to do, that's fine. But I think then that must be the message we're doing. It's not a standalone framework. It's not something we're creating a lighter version of Full IFRS. What I'm saying is that's more of a conceptual discussion. If that's what we want to do, great. If that's the objective we all agree to do, that's fine. But then we don't even need to have discussions around relevance, because if we've decided it's relevant in Full IFRS, we have to tick the box in SMEs. So I'm saying it. Whereas I see this as a sure. We're looking at a standard which is for non-publicly accountable entities. I do see that as different, because I see that what I would worry about when a Zach or Nick is reviewing a listed company, to me, is very different to what the users of this of these financials use. And when I think of the preparers, it's a different mindset. I think of the people using them, it's a different mindset. And to me, that's been the value in the SMEs, is that we're prepared to take off our one hats and put another one on to say we do accept that this is a different world that we're dealing with. And if people want the gold standard, remember, I mean, in most countries, in fact, I think in all countries, where the SME standard's allowed, people can step up. So if I'm an SME preparer who says, you know something, actually, I've got more sophisticated transactions, and not just that I've got more sophisticated transactions, but more importantly, the users of my accounts require the complexity of the accounting that goes with that. Because that's what I think people forget. It's not actually about whether the SME has complex transactions. It's whether I need the sophistication of the financial reporting to communicate to the users of my accounts. That's really the key principle to me. And I don't think that exists in this world, which is why, to me, the simplicity factor has to be there to say, Are we, you know, relevance, as I say, I think is ticked if we've done it in full IFRS. The question has to be, is the simplicity and the cost benefit, are these kind of things coming in and we're looking at? And I just get worried that if we're creating an IFRS light, I'm very concerned that we're going to create something that at some point some jurisdictions are going to turn around and say, look, that's fantastic for you guys to try and find a big first world country to use it in, but in the markets where it's currently being used the most, a standard where the complexity gets too high is just not going to be fit for purpose. And I do think we need to be thinking about what the purpose of this, of the framework is.
Can I just respond to you again, sorry, because I think this is really important. So I don't think I am in a totally different place to you, so I don't want to create that impression. If I really believed that this type of accounting was not relevant for SMEs, then that would stop me wanting the alignment. But I'm not convinced, and I haven't seen evidence, but others have different views, but I'm personally not convinced I believe that the information, put it in a positive, the information provided about assets and liabilities for all leases, subject to the small ticket and all of that, is useful for users of SMEs accounts from what I understand about how banks think about leases. So I believe it is relevant even for the users of SMEs. If I wasn't convinced of that, then I'd be with you. I wouldn't just barrel along there if I didn't believe it was useful for users of SMEs. Personally, I believe it is, but there's differences of views around the table. And secondly, the other reason when I think you just don't go for IFRS light is if you don't think the transactions are really ones that matter. So that's why we have differences on, say, hedge accounting, for example, between the small book and IFRS, full IFRS. But here, we know that some of the biggest users of leases are in this community. So for me, because they do lots of these transactions and because I believe that it is relevant to their user group, that makes it an alignment candidate for me, then I need to think about costs. So I'm not automatically saying good for IFRS, you know, capital markets, therefore good for IFRS for SMEs, just to be clear.
So one last comment on it. We're slightly polarised on this. The only comment I'd make is I agree that leases are relevant. There's two things on that. One, what I'm saying is, do I think that the current accounting doesn't give users what they need to do? And I'm not convinced by that right now. Do I think IFRS 16 could be better? Yes, in the long run, it potentially could be. But I would be a lot more supportive of saying, given what we've seen in IFRS 16 at the moment, I would strongly support saying that if we've got any candidate in this book around deferral, this would be the one. Because I just don't think that we understand enough about it to be convinced. Yeah, so a lot of it is about timing. I'm just not convinced we've got the evidence there that says to me, right now is the time to increase the complexity for these guys, change what they're doing, which is why I wouldn't go to a partial change, something Nick said earlier. I mean, I would leave them where they are and rather say we're going to defer than make them do a change now and a change later. That wouldn't be a good idea.
That's one thing I agree with you on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for me, it's also a timing issue. And the question is rather awkward, and it reflects what Zach highlighted earlier, because it's hard to deny relevance. But, at the same time, I think weighing up costs and benefits, I think, is what we're doing at this stage. And I know we've been asked to opine on relevance and then come to, mitigations in terms of, then dealing with costs. But I find it hard to disconnect those two things in terms of that first question.
Lika?
For me, timing issue as well. I just want to see the aligned standards, of course. But I feel like time is not yet come. So I think the staff need to analyze further about what's the best simplification for SME to make a good alignment with IFRS 16. But I think it might require a lot more time to figure it out, to start investigating for that only that purpose. So I just wonder if we can hold at this moment and decide data how we can best to work on this. That's my
thought. If you say decide later, that would not mean as part of this, us getting to the exposure draft now. That would be the third comprehensive review.
So
I haven't spoken yet. I came here to say I agree with the staff recommendation, but having heard the considerations, I think it's really giving me a hard time to just push those aside. And I think the discussion that we have had, I think we're all in agreement that what we have in IFRS 16 provides relevant information and therefore is by itself a strong case saying we should strive for an alignment. I think the case that I have heard of those asking probably for a delay was really a practical concern. Is this the right point in time? Are systems ready? Yeah. So, but as you say, this is not the way how we ask the question, right? And if my math were correct, I mean, we had five in each camp and Zach somewhere sitting on the fence, so probably not agreeing with anything. No, it was not quite like that. But that would mean that we wouldn't have enough for a majority anyway, I think. So the question is, I don't see us progressing on this one at this stage to begin with. That was my sense that I had. But I agree absolutely with Sue that if we say we defer this, there needs to be a really good communication, a really good rationale for that. And it should really be that we agree with the alignment, we agree this sets relevant information. We have a concern as to the timing, given that we haven't even started our PIR on IFRS 16, but we are aware of some complications. We don't want SMEs to do a change twice, but we really want to give them one go. And for that reason, I would finally be more in the camp of actually those holding back at this stage. Not to say I disagree with that, but or I disagree with the other notion. It's really more around, is this the right point in time?
We'll get a show of hands.
Yeah, I think that will be it.
So the question should probably, the suggestion is either we ask whether we should pursue alignment now, or do we want to defer pursuing alignment?
And I think that will be a better way of phrasing it. So if we say, does the board agree that the improvements to financial reporting we introduced are relevant to SMEs, I think we can probably skip that question because we believe, yes, they are relevant. But then the question is really, do we believe that we should be pursuing alignment now, right, and bring in the principles now into the standard, or should we wait? So if that's an extra question, it's 1A, so to say. Yeah.
I would say,
who wants to defer alignment?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a question.
Maybe I would be a bit more nuanced, if I may. Like to defer the consideration of alignment, because we're going to presume what the decision will be taking in five years' time.
Well, maybe could you not flip it to the positive? Who would like to pursue alignment now? Because then the people who don't vote are not stating whether or not they actually want to align.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. So ask the question in the positive and say who will be in favour of alignment now. In terms of the remainder of the paper, I think probably the most of the questions are now falling down.
You can discuss them in a few years.
Post it now for the next.
Yeah. You dissociate yourself, you see. I wish you would have been able to give you a nicer birthday present, I must say.
Andreas, may I ask a question? We've had a bit of chat, but not a lot, around approach one. The staff did ask the if we didn't support one, do we support three? And I'm not sure if it's just worth having a clear outcome on that.
Okay. Shall we just vote on that? Just see if the approach is back on. So approach three was don't do an alignment at this stage, but improve disclosures from what we have.
If we think they're relevant disclosures, yeah.
Pardon?
If we think they're relevant disclosures, I mean, we'll need to see the disclosures.
Do you want the staff to look at that?
I think that's what the question was asking. Do you want us to look at improving disclosures?
Yeah.
Can I see a show of hands? Who would agree? Who would like the staff to investigate improved disclosures, given the decision that we now stay with the current Section 20? Can I see a show of hands?
If we're saying should they investigate, I mean, if we get feedback and people are saying they are missing disclosures, absolutely. I mean, I think we should be doing that anyways, right? Yeah.
But I've given you feedback from before. You don't have the sense that there are missing disclosures.
No, what I'm saying is, I mean, it's the big thing is, so we're saying to people, there's recognition measurement, you're going to leave alone. But if we've heard from a whole lot of users, there's a specific piece of disclosure that would be really useful, absolutely. I think we should potentially be looking at it. I wasn't sure if we had, that's right.
Reconsidering paper B, was there such strong push?
Not in the comment letters, but in some of the user outreach we did, there was some feedback about disclosure improvements. So we could look at that.
Yeah,
but I mean, to intain, we could look at it. We could just bring another paper back to the board when we bring the disclosure.
I guess I would want on leases, as with any other chapter in the SME standard, if we heard about significant deficiencies, for the staff to feedback and for us to think about how we address that. So I wasn't, when I read approach three, I was really reading approach three as code for should we have a disclosure alternative to moving to the recognition and measurement alignment with IFRS 16, and trying in some ways to supplement or bridge the if we don't align now, bridge the non-alignment with, and if we were to apply IFRS 16, this is the kind of obligations we'd recognize and kind of assets we'd recognize. And it's that latter kind of disclosure in lieu of recognition and measurement that I was saying I wouldn't support, because I think that that would require a significant investment now, and quite a significant change, as well as facing the possibility of another round. So I kind of take off the table the, yes, of course, if there's a particular item, bring it back to us. But this is, I'm assuming that what, Michelle, is that correct, that what you're asking about is a more, should we have a disclosure alternative that tries to bridge with IFRS 16?
I don't think we thought about a disclosure alternative. I mean, I think we could go back to the user outreach and look at that and see if there are some improvements we could make if we're not going to be on a non-alignment basis. But I think that could be quite a small piece of work. But that's more like just dealing with comments we've had about general disclosures in the standard.
And then push, because if we're saying that we're going to think about alignment on the next review, yes, it is several years off, but I wouldn't do a lot unless it was a screaming problem, mm-hmm. as opposed to...
Two rounds of change.
Yeah, we can change.
Yeah, I don't think two rounds of change is a good idea.
And apart from that, I think it just increases the possibility of people actually saying, we have now accustomed to the disclosure piece, why should we make a change to recognition and measurement? And that's the bit that worries me even more, because if our decision, as before, was really we want to go for an alignment, but we just don't think that this is now the case, we are doing a quasi alignment in the notes, and we are creating another hurdle then for the SMEs to actually do the final change, and I would try to avoid that. Ginger?
Yes. Exactly, I have similar points, because even we have proposed additional disclosure proposal, first disclosing more information still costs additional cost to all of preparers. So we should try to balance the cost, the additional cost, and the benefit. And particularly, I think the key of leasing accounting is really not about, from my perspective, not about disclosure, it's really about recognition and measurement. That's the key. And if we, in the end, we consult the users, okay, they ask you to disclose future, lease payments within the lease term, so future cash flows. So I think it will cost a lot. And how it will not be a significant difference, because once you discount that future cash flow and can provide, we are going to simplify the discount rate, how to determine the discount rate. I think for preparers, it will not make a significant difference for in terms of cost for them, bring to the face of the balance sheet or disclosed in the notes. So this is really one thing I concern about that, because there is another cost-benefit consideration we need to be care about that.
Yeah. If we're going to say that we aren't doing IFRS 16, I think from the comments today, the reason we're not doing it is a timing question. And that's the message, to Sue's point. That is the message out there. And don't confuse that message by then changing the disclosures in relation to operating leases. That's just muddying the water. So I'd go with it's a timing question. In response to the discussion and the feedback, we are deferring on aligning with IFRS 16.
So is there agreement around the room that for that reason we would not look into approach 3?
Can I ask this question? So that's it. Because we say it's a timing issue, whether we are going to ask a question in the exposure draft in relation to timing.
No, it's
just totally.
Our reasoning for the board not recommending alignment at this stage is a timing issue. It's not a conceptual issue, because we believe that generally the case for alignment has been made. We believe that IFRS 16 is providing relevant information, but there is a contingent that in the board that is concerned whether this is the right point in time to actually make the alignment.
Okay. Yeah, because we are not going to consult, you know, even the timing issue in the exposure draft, actually. So just, okay. Just
about I think we have consulted on the timing issue in our first RFI.
Okay.
Okay. So can I see a show of hands who agrees with that? Sorry, Tadeo.
Yeah, just make one comment. When I read the approach 3, I also have the same feeling as Mary. Actually, not because the way that is approach 3 and the comments came, but because of the feedback received from the respondents. I mean, that in the end of the day, they are trying to say, oh, instead of aligning with IFRS 16, can't we do something else in the disclosure, not in the balance sheet? That's the way I read the feedback received. And then I think, no, I don't think that we should work with that. Because if we work with the disclosures, and then we go to the very first question we made, shall we align or treat IFRS for SME as an independent standard? If we start discussing disclosure in this section, this is as if we are actually looking this in an independent way. Okay, let's look at the disclosure. Or we are in the position to align, or we have to find something that's not working in this section to justify changing the disclosure, and not trying to be in a halfway to say, okay, we are not aligning, but we are doing something to try to change the disclosure. Or I believe the disclosures are not working as they are in an independent view, or we are working with an alignment. That's why I really think that approach 3 is not the solution for not aligned with IFRS 16. It's very subtle, but that's why I see approach 3 as something that I really don't like.
Okay, can I ask the question then? Who agrees with not pursuing approach 3? Can I see a show of hands?
11.
Okay.
Oh, 12.
All right. I think that provides the staff a clear steer, even though not the desired one. Okay. I think we then do a break. And can we reconvene a quarter to one, please?